You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA and a certified financial planner, an accredited estate planner as well, on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen each and every week at wdiy.org, wdiy.org. And if you're not currently a member of WDIY, you can certainly visit the website to get more information about becoming a member. I know that we have our pledge drive coming up, and we can shorten that pledge drive if we raise some additional funds by October 10th. Otherwise, we will start the countdown, I think, probably October 12th. So we can shorten that up a little bit if you want to make your pledge sooner. We would appreciate that. It's always good to know what we have to count on to help run things here, along with all of the volunteers that are here at WDIY. And just a reminder, you can listen online at wdiy.org and visit the new website. Today is September 26, 2012. The markets were down today. The Dow closing at 13,414, the NASDAQ at 30,93, and the S&P closed at 14,33. Last week, we discussed multi-state tax issues and inheritance taxes. Tonight, I was supposed to be joined by Rod Young to discuss upcoming tax changes, but Rod was called away, so I apologize. So we have Rod here as a frequent host and a fill-in host, but Rod and I were looking forward to kind of bantering back and forth about the tax changes, and unfortunately he can't be here, so I'm going to banter back and forth with myself. Maybe Jeff can listen to me, and you, the callers, are welcome to call in if you have any questions, you need some clarifications on what's going on. I'd be happy to take your calls. We are live. Andrea is in the studio with us tonight and will answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I will typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number to call in is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can always email questions through yourfinancialchoices.com as well. Also, if you're not comfortable talking on air, I welcome everyone to call in. That's my favorite thing to do, is to talk with the listeners and answer their questions, you know, live. But if you're not comfortable talking on air, you want to remain anonymous, you can just call in and give your question to Andrea, and she'll write it down, and then she'll just bring it in to me. So I appreciate questions any which way they come. It's kind of a little bit of a rainy evening, so it's a good night to stay tuned and listen to what's going on, because what are we talking about? We're going to talk about comparing the tax rates, what we have in 2012, what do we know, what don't we know, what are some of the proposals that are on the table, so that how do we plan for them and what makes sense for us and should we be doing planning. First, I do want to ask, though, because at the end of last week's show, I had mentioned a website through the Pennsylvania Treasury for unclaimed property, and I just wondered if anyone had gone on and checked if they had any unclaimed property, because I'm telling you, it's kind of fun to do, especially if you find out that you have some, especially for people who probably are more transient, move around, or if you're a young adult and maybe a parent or a relative set up a bank account, you know, for you that, you know, once you became an adult, you didn't realize it or forgot to check it out. And that was on the Pennsylvania Treasury's website. You can just Google unclaimed property in Pennsylvania, and that website will pop up. But it's basically patreasury.gov/unclaimed, and I think that will get you to where you need to be. It does. Pennsylvania does say that they're currently seeking the owners of over $1.5 billion in unclaimed property. $1.5 billion. So they are ready and waiting to help you. It is free of charge. You don't have to pay someone to help you find your unclaimed property when they have that information. So it is a good place to start looking. And we have a caller on line one already. I'm excited. Ed, can you hear me? We got to wait a second for Andrea to get back into the phone room. Ed, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
And thank you for taking my call, Lauren.
Good. How can I help you?
I have a, see if I can articulate it. I have a tax-related question and an IRA distribution, required distribution question.
Okay.
I'm going to roll over a 401A to an IRA.
Okay.
And I understand that taxes are deferred. However, and also understand that if a person is over 70 and a half, I'm 78.
Uh-huh.
When I do this, that there are other special provisions, and I'm trying to find out whether those are positive or negative.
Okay. All right. So basically what happens, have you been working all along, Ed?
Yes, I have, and this is part of my pension.
Okay.
And I'm going to roll over my contributions to an IRA.
Okay. All right. So typically what happens with retirement accounts, if people are retired and they either had 401ks, the 401A is you had like some deferred comp or it is the pension that you
right.
set aside. So what
right.
happens if you have the option to roll that over into an IRA, it is not taxed at the time of the rollover. So let's pretend you had $100,000 and you're
okay.
rolling it over into an IRA. That transaction isn't taxed if you do like a trustee to trustee or you do it within 60 days. But what happens is once you reach age 70 and a half, unless you're working or if you're, there's some other provisions I won't get into because it's too complicated, but unless you're working, you're going to have a required minimum distribution starting at age 70 and a half. So prior, if you've been working, you didn't fall under that. But now that you're retired, you're rolling over your plan, you are going to have to start taking out a required minimum distribution. And there's a table.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's a table that you look at that the IRS has for your life expectancy. And so you go to that table and you say age 78, and then you say what was the balance at December 31st of 2011, and then you divide that balance by that factor, and that will tell you what your required minimum distribution is.
Okay, so you're starting your required, even though you're well past 70 and a half,
mm-hmm.
you're starting your required distribution at the time that you make the rollover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was kind of afraid that you'd have to, you know, back up and make up what would have been your required distribution.
No.
In a lump sum.
No, not if you had the exception, which was you were working, so then you weren't required to.
Yeah, correct. And I was.
Right. Now, one of the things you might want to look at, you have to or be aware of, is you're probably collecting Social Security. You
right.
might have another pension. I'm not sure if this, you know, if you're rolling over your entire pension or if you're still going to have a pension supplementing this distribution.
Yes, there will be.
Okay. Just be aware that when you go to file your tax return, all of this income now, you want to be aware of what's going to be taxed because now you're going to have a pension, you're going to have an IRA distribution, you're going to have Social Security income, you might have some interest in dividends that you might not realize your Social Security is going to be taxed as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Social Security in the old days wasn't taxed. And then back in, it's been a long time now, like 1986, I think, they started taxing Social Security. But it all depends on how much other income you have in your tax return. So a person who only has Social Security, probably isn't paying any income tax. But someone who has Social Security plus a lot of other income, there's thresholds. So be ready for that. So you might want to plan for withholdings on your IRA distribution as well.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Hey, you're a real help, and I really appreciate you taking my call, Laurie.
All right. Great, Ed. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Have a good night. Bye-bye. We have another caller. We have a caller on line two. We have John. John, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, John. How can I help you?
Yeah, I missed all of the show last week, but what I listened to was very interesting. My question, I don't know if you answered it or not last week, was since I paid tax on 401k contributions while I'm working, are just my contributions tax-free on the way out in Pennsylvania, or are the gains also tax-free in Pennsylvania?
The gains as well. So, and John, I want to just set this up a little bit for the listening audience so they understand, because you have some understanding around this already. What happens is when someone's employed in Pennsylvania and we have, let's pretend we have federal wages of $50,000 and we put $5,000 into a 401k, for federal, our federal wages are reduced by the amount we put in the 401k because it's tax deferred. So our wages for federal are $45,000. And you're right. Last week I said on Pennsylvania then, our W-2 wages are $50,000 because Pennsylvania doesn't give us that deferral. So if in your 401k you had that $5,000 and it grows to $6,000 for Pennsylvania, the distribution from your 401k, as long as you're over age, 59 and a half, and there's no other exceptions that, would apply to you, retirement distributions are not income taxable for Pennsylvania purposes.
Yeah, now, if my brother-in-law lives in New York and does get a New York State tax break on his contributions, if he were to move into Pennsylvania, would his withdrawals be tax-free as far as Pennsylvania is concerned?
Yeah. Yes,
okay.
Isn't that something?
I wish I'd known that when I started work.
And vice versa, John, because I had someone who lived in Pennsylvania had paid tax on all of those deferrals for Pennsylvania purposes for years and years and years and years and had a gigantic IRA. And then he moved to Ohio, and it's all subject to Ohio income tax.
Yeah. I think I'll stay put.
Okay. All right, John. All right. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good night. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. I love the calls. Keep them coming. It's my kind of night. Phone number 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Ever wonder what it would be like to sit down and chat with Terry Gross? Well, here's your chance. WDIY is hosting a special meet-and-greet champagne reception with Terry on Saturday, October 27th from 5 to 6 p.m. at Blue Event Center in Bethlehem. Terry will be there to sign autographs, take photos, and chat a bit with each of the attendees. Tickets are very limited, so reserve yours today. $50 per person includes hors d'oeuvres and champagne. Call or email the station to reserve your spot. More information online at WDIY.org.
And we are back with Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. Tonight we're talking about some tax topics as to what we know and what we don't know. And what we do know are what the tax rates are for 2012. What we don't know are what they are going to be for 2013. So I want to highlight a little bit of what's going on with that and then talk about some strategies, because I had found a piece in my reading which discussed strategies to use when considering the differences in tax changes in 2013. So many of you may be holding out for new tax legislation, but by the time that's decided, it may be too late to do anything about tax planning for 2012. So in the context of what you do today in 2012, if you're not going to be worse off by doing it today, then it might be something you need to take the time to consider, whether you need to do some kinds of tax planning strategies now, if you're not going to be worse off anyway, than rather in delaying, which then might mean the unknown of what the tax rates are going to be in 2013. So first, I want to talk a little bit about the differences in the current tax laws and then what's being proposed. and then we'll kind of move from there. But in the meantime, I would love the phone calls. That's even better than me talking about taxes. The phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. And give us a call, and we can take calls live on air, or you can send your questions in to Andrea, and she can bring those in to me. So let's talk about some of these tax policies. We're going to look at what's going on in 2012, and then we want to look at what President Obama and Governor Romney are proposing to see if we need to be aware of these differences and how it will affect the kind of tax planning we think we need to do for 2012. So some of you might hear this and make a bet on which way things are going to go, and that might prompt you to not make any tax planning changes, or prompt you to do so. So we'll kind of go over that. My guide in this endeavor was something called a CCH tax briefing. Commerce Clearinghouse is our research network, and they do an awesome job on putting out interesting special reports on different tax legislation and items that we need to pay attention to. So I took the opportunity to look at this tax briefing and thought how it might apply to our listeners. And here is what we have. Both candidates agree that something other than a complete sunset of the Bush-era tax cuts must take place. So when we talk about, let's talk for a moment about what that is. When President Bush came into office, they made across-the-board income tax cuts, corporate tax cuts, different tax cuts that were in place for, gosh, I think it was supposed to go in place through 2010, so like 2001 through 2010. And if nothing was changed, they were supposed to sunset. So those tax cuts were supposed to sunset already. But then they, because of the economy, they did an extension of those Bush tax cuts into 2011 and 2012. Some of those tax cuts, just in general, real broad, were lowering of ordinary income tax rates. They implemented some new tax brackets, so we had a 10% tax bracket, which we hadn't had in the prior tax rates. They also lowered tax rates on dividends. Dividends had always been taxed like ordinary income, like your wages, like your interest income. They had ordinary rates. There was no special provision for dividends. With the Bush tax cuts, there was a lowering of the dividends on, the lowering of tax on dividends. Dividends that were considered qualified, which were coming basically from, let's say, domestic corporations, those dividends qualified for a lower tax rate similar to that of capital gains tax rates. Okay, so the capital gains tax rates were also lowered. They were lowered from 20% down to 15%. But capital gains tax rates were actually further lowered, that said for people who are in a 15% or lower tax bracket, they're only going to pay a zero capital gains tax rate. So there was a number of different measures that lowered tax rates, that provided not just tax rates being reduced, but also how much we get to do have as deductions as well. So Schedule A itemized deductions for those people who itemized. We also got certain, the mortgage interest, real estate taxes, sales tax, state and local withholding income taxes that we've paid, charitable deductions. All of those deductions that were available to us on Schedule A in the past had also been subject to limitations, such that if you made so much money, they were limited. Some of that had been phased out in the Bush tax cuts. The limitations of your deductions were phased out. So it's almost overwhelming and too hard for me to draw a picture on the radio of all the tax implications that we have under the Bush tax cuts and how those changes might, how we might revert back to the original tax rates we had back in 2001. But that's called the sunset rules. We're going to go back to the old tax rates. All right. So what happens is President Obama wants to extend the Bush tax cuts for all but higher income individuals. And presumably that's those people making $200,000, I assume, for single and $250,000 for married filing joint. So what we're being told is that he would want to extend those Bush tax cuts, the lower capital gains tax rate, the lower dividend tax rate. He would like to lower those for all but the higher income individuals, those making over $200,000 and $250,000. So again, when we're trying to decide what kind of tax planning strategies we need to use or think about in 2012, we have to say, do we think tax changes are going to apply to us in 2013 such that we would do something now in 2012? Governor Romney proposes to extend the tax cuts indefinitely, at least probably through 2013 and then forward. So he proposes to extend the lower tax rates indefinitely to everyone. In addition, he has proposed exempting from tax all capital gains, dividends, and interest for individuals making less than $200,000 per year. Obama has proposed taking dividends at ordinary income tax rates for higher income individuals as they were in the pre-Bush tax cuts. So when we look at tax rates in 2012, the top individual tax rate is 35%. In 2013, with the sunset of the Bush tax cuts, the top individual tax rate will be 39.6. Capital gains, 15%. And when I say capital gains, that's long-term capital gains. It's 15%, but it's actually zero for taxpayers in the 10 and 15% tax brackets. And that lower rate also applies to those qualified dividends. In 2013, the capital gains will be 20%. Dividends would be taxed at ordinary rates. Okay, folks, I think it's time for us to take another break. Would love more calls. The phone number 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Folks, you are listening to WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions, 72 degrees under overcast skies. Tonight, showers likely, lows around 60. Thursday, decreasing clouds, highs around 74. Friday and Saturday, heavy rain is expected with high temperatures around 66 degrees. The time now is 6:22. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Welcome back, folks. The phone number to call in is 610-758-8810. We've already had a couple great calls tonight, and I appreciate that. We're talking a little bit about awareness here for the tax strategies that people still have time to implement. And I'm trying to give kind of a broad view of where we are in 2012 and what might be proposed under both President Obama and Governor Romney for 2013, such that you need to decide personally if there is something that would require your attention now. Again, sooner than later, we're almost in October. So when you think about it, we have October, November, December. And one of the things that people have been talking about is they're concerned is that with the lower capital gains tax rates in 2012 proposed to go back up in 2013, and there's some additional taxes that will affect people in 2013, something called the Medicare surtax, which is on net investment income over certain thresholds, and they're high thresholds. But what the talk is, I think, is some people might be concerned that there will be like a sell-off in the market where people are trying to take their gains by the end of the year in order to have them subject to the lower income tax rates. So these are things that you kind of have to be aware of in your own decision making. So when we're looking at the current tax rate system and then what we have to look forward in 2013, we're not sure what we're looking toward in 2013. So I'm trying to highlight the differences in what President Obama would be proposing, what Governor Romney would be proposing. And if nothing gets done, it's all, you know, back to the old tax rules. So we want to see what they might be doing. So, for example, I had mentioned that it's not all just about the tax rates. It's also could be about the deductions. And certain higher income individuals who itemized in the past until the Bush tax cuts and certain phase outs may be subject to limitations on their itemized deductions again. So the 2010 Tax Relief Act extended temporary repeal of the limitations on itemized deductions and the personal exemption phase out through 2012. So people who have been itemizing, there's been no phase out. You've been able to use those deductions. And I'm not talking about the traditional phase out of like medical expenses. I'm talking about adjusted gross income phase outs. Those phase outs were eliminated for 2012. So Obama has proposed to allow the current temporary repeal of those limitations to expire after 2012. And he has proposed to limit the value, though, of all itemized deductions and certain tax other tax expenditures for individuals with incomes over $200,000 and families over $250,000 by limiting the tax value of otherwise allowable deductions and exclusions to 28%. So there would be some limit on that. Romney has proposed to permanently repeal the limitations because, remember, he's wanting to extend the Bush tax cuts indefinitely. So as you know, your tax rules in 2012, I think that that's what Governor Romney is proposing. We have another caller on line one. We have Keith. Keith, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi. How can I help you?
I'm sorry. Repeat that, please.
How can I help you?
Oh, this is the question.
Okay.
Okay. Two questions, actually. One is, if I have the option, literally, of exercising stock options in 2012 versus 2013, and in either case they are likely to push our family income above $250,000.
Okay.
So it sounds like in 2013, that extra income will be likely taxed at 38 instead of 35%. So I would suggest doing it in 2012, and the only difference is I've kind of got the time value of money of having to pay tax on that earlier rather than later.
Right.
Obviously, assuming the stock price stays the same, you know, that is an unknown, of course, but, you know, we took that part of it out of the equation. Is that a correct understanding from what you described?
Right. That is one of the exercises you have to go through when you're looking at the Medicare surtax on wages and the Medicare surtax on net investment income. But Keith, here's the piece you have to pay attention to. When you exercise stock options, it's going to be included in your wages. It's W-2 income, that appreciation on the stock options. If I'm understanding, these are non-qualified stock options. There's an exercise price.
Yes, it will be treated as income.
Right. So what happens is it's not the 3.8% surtax. It's a 0.9% surtax. So there's two kinds of Medicare surtax. One is on wages and one is on net investment income. So on wages, it's if your wages exceed the 200, if your adjusted gross income on page one is over 250,000, and let's say your stock options push your income to 260,000, then you would only be paying the 0.9% on $10,000. It's the amount over the threshold.
Okay.
Okay, so does that help clarify that piece?
Yes.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
So that's where you have to say, then you go back to your time value of money question, and then you also go back to, you know, you may have other kinds of you want to factor in if you're paying Social Security tax, you know, in 2012, 2013, there's caps on Social Security. 2012, remember, we're only paying, you're probably going to be over anyway, so it doesn't matter. But
I'll pay the max both years.
Okay. So those are kinds of the other issues you want to look at. So it's only 0.9 if it's over. So play that out. Now, did you have another question as well?
I had a second one. You may actually have been answering it while I was on hold.
Okay.
And that was, in these limitations for Schedule A deductions,
mm-hmm.
do they lump them all together? So mortgage interest and school taxes and sales taxes, it's the total of those, or are there limits on each of them individually?
If we go into 2013 and the sunset rules kick in, or if you're over the thresholds, if President Obama has a proposal where he's going to phase out or limit, then it's an adjusted gross income limitation. So they say, okay, if your adjusted gross income is over, you know, I'll make up a number, $180,000, then they might reduce your adjusted gross or your Schedule A itemized deductions by a certain percent. That's the sunset rules. Now, what President Obama is proposing, it's a little bit different, which I can't quite get my arms around, where he says he's limiting the tax value of otherwise allowable deductions and exclusions to 28%. So in that case, maybe you have itemized deductions of $50,000 and you're in a 35% tax bracket. I'm interpreting this one to be that you would only get a 28% deduction on that $50,000, not 35%. Does that make sense?
Yes, okay. It's going to take some figuring.
Okay. Now, let me just add a couple other comments for you to think about for 2012. If you exercise options or not, you want to also look to see when are you doing deductions or not. Like, maybe you need to push deductions into 2013 if you're going to wait to do the stock options to 2013, do more 401k contributions. So you want to balance all of those options to see how it flushes out between the 2 years. Lots of different strategies to use, okay?
Okay, very good.
All right.
A lot involved there.
Okay, great. Thank you, Keith. Have a good night. Folks, we're going to take another break. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Okay, folks, love the phone calls. The phone number here is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and we're talking about what's going on. What do we know about taxes? Do you need to do some planning? So I thought it would be beneficial to say what we do know is we know what the 2012 tax rates are. What we don't know is what 2013 is going to look like. But based on sunset rules, or even based on the proposals of President Obama, Governor Romney, what might, I guess, inspire us to look at our own tax planning and think these things through and make some changes? So there are a lot of factors, a lot of elements. I really suggest that people work with their tax advisor, run through tax software planning, because sometimes you don't realize how interrelated and how one decision is affects another decision. So you might think you're going to, you know, sell a bunch of stock and have like $100,000 gain because you're going to have lower tax rates. But what you don't realize is when you do that, you push your other income up into AMT, and the tax consequences aren't just a flat 15% on your $100,000 decision. It could be, yeah, you're only paying 15% on your $100,000, but you put your income up such that your ordinary income is now exposed to alternative minimum tax. So you really want to kind of put the numbers through a tax program, tax software, work with your advisor, whatever, to actually say, okay, if I do make these decisions, what do they end up, you know, looking like once you kind of put them through the ringer? All right. So we talked a little bit about the itemized deduction phase out and exemption phase out. Basically, President Obama will let them expire and then like modify it a little bit. Romney wants Bush tax cuts permanent. Child tax credit. A lot of people with children have, you know, become used to this. They don't realize that the child tax credit was actually something that was increased when the we were having trouble with the economy, and it's $1,000 child tax credit for children under 17 years old. And President Obama and Governor Romney both want to make it permanent, but without extending it, it will drop down to $500 and will be subject to lower phase outs. So people who are currently getting the child tax credit, if something is not done, it may drop back down to $500 or be subject to more limitations. So you need to be aware of that. Alternative minimum tax, I had mentioned that. Governor Romney proposes to abolish it, and President Obama wants the Buffett rule. So what is the Buffett rule? The Buffett rule is that he has described it as ensuring that taxpayers making over $1 million annually would pay an effective tax rate of at least 30%. The Buffett rule is primarily a long-term proposal, however, with Obama supporting a 2012 and 2013 patch through several bills already introduced this year. Okay, if Congress does not act until January on certain extenders, including the AMT exemption that officially expired at the end of 2011, the IRS predicts major delays during the 2013 tax filing season until the 2012 forms and instructions can properly reflect the law. What's going on there is people who are subject to alternative minimum tax, there's actually thresholds, and I don't even know what those thresholds are off the top of my head. But once you reach, you know, certain dollar amount, and you have certain deductions, we call those preference items, adjustments, and things like that, that if you're subject to alternative minimum tax, in the past, there was not an inflation change in those thresholds. And every year for many years now, Congress has to come in and put in a patch and say, yes, let's increase the amount of the threshold. Otherwise, millions and millions of people would be subject to the alternative minimum tax. And so they've always put through this patch. And as of yet, I don't believe we have that patch for 2012, but I would expect since they've done it every year that they probably would do it. And I guess we're hoping that they will specifically address this before year end so that we know what's happening with that. Folks, if you have questions this evening, the number to call in is 610-758-8810. I've loved the questions tonight. They've been really good. And it gets me in a good mood. 610-758-8810. Now, let's talk for a minute about the payroll tax holiday. This is something to be aware of as well. If in 2012, remember, we've gotten used to all of these tax cuts such that people don't even realize that we've been under tax cuts for years now. And what we have also seen in the last couple of years is something called the payroll tax holiday that is set to expire as well. And what that means is you and I, if we're employees, we have always paid some money into Social Security. And in the old days, it was always just Social Security. And then in the past several years, they've broken up Social Security into two pieces. One is called old age, OASDI. If you pull out your pay stub, you'll see OASDI. And the other piece of Social Security is the Medicare tax. The reason it's split is because there is a cap on the amount of old age Social Security tax that we pay. And that is, I'm trying to, 4.2. And that's capped at a certain wage. And then 1.45% is on Medicare. And there is no cap on that. So that's when we're an employee. If you're self-employed, you're paying both sides of that. As an employee, we pay 7.65% total. The employer pays 7.65% total. But again, only up to that cap. Once we go over like 106,000, and I don't know the number exactly, once we go over that, we're only paying the tax, the Medicare tax, not the old age tax. All right. So what has happened last year, 2011 and 2012, is we called it the payroll tax holiday because we have not been paying that higher amount. We've been paying 2% less. So of the 7.65%, we've been paying 2% less, only 5.65. And so instead of 4.2, we've been paying 2.2. So that might make a difference for some people when they're thinking about whether or not to accelerate income into 2012 or to have it in 2013. Okay, because you could be paying less Social Security. American Opportunity Credit. American Opportunity Credit is a big, big, big tax credit for those people who qualify for it, who have children in college that are paying tuition out of pocket. They have, you know, they might have other bills that they're paying. Sorry, what I'm trying to say is if you have out-of-pocket education expenses. So, for example, if your child goes to school and they have a tuition bill of $10,000 and maybe you used $3,000 from a 529 plan, you still had $7,000 out of pocket. If you had that and you entered that on your tax return and you otherwise qualified because it's, you know, qualified tuition, your income is below the thresholds, you could qualify for something called the American Opportunity Credit. President Obama wants to make that permanent. Governor Romney has not addressed it, but the American Opportunity Tax Credit, it reaches up to $2,500 of the cost of tuition, fees, and course materials paid during the tax year. It's based on 100% of the first $2,000 plus 25% of the next $2,000. So if you have $4,000 worth of out-of-pocket expenses for qualified education expenses and your income is within a certain range, you can get up to a $2,500 tax credit. And some of that credit is refundable. So the phase-outs are starting at $80,000 for singles and $160,000 for joint filers. Now, I'll tell you, someone who makes $160,000 probably doesn't, you know, their children may not even qualify for financial aid. So this was a nice, you know, kind of boost, a nice little perk, I guess, for those people sending their children to college, paying sometimes very high tuition rates. You would be eligible for that American Opportunity Credit, and that is set to expire in 2012 unless something is changed. So Governor Romney has not addressed it, and President Obama wants to make it permanent. Now, let me just say, the reason why that doesn't come under what Governor Romney is saying, how he wants to extend the Bush tax cuts, and you might think, oh, then that's extended too. But the American Opportunity Credit was not something through the Bush tax cuts. That came through later in just the recent legislation under President Obama. So that's why that is addressed separate. There's also some discussion of that for higher education tuition deduction. That's on page one as well. That's for people who might be going back to school. You're not a four-year college degree student like on the American Opportunity Credit. It has to be someone who's going to school for their four-year degree. The higher education tuition deduction could be for someone who's going back to grad school later in life, et cetera, or maybe just even taking, you know, classes for, I don't know, what. Lots of rules around all these different deductions and credits and tax advantages. But again, President Obama wants to make that permanent. Okay, when we come back, we're going to have another little break. I'm going to talk a little bit more about those two new Medicare surtaxes for higher income individuals to kind of clarify that a little bit. And then we're going to talk about some strategies. The phone number, oh, I thought it was 645. The phone number is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. We're going to wrap up the last quarter of the show when we come back.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7, on WDIY-FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
Okay, and we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We're talking a little bit about taxes, and then we're going to dive into some strategies that you need to consider or decide if they're going to apply to you. If you have questions, we still have lots of time left. The phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can call in live with me, or you can call and give your question to Andrea, and she will bring it in. But don't wait till the last minute, because then, you know, I might not have time to answer it. So if you have questions, just take the plunge. Call 610-758-8810. Real brief, the Medicare surtax, let me just kind of go over that for a second more. Keith had called about that a little bit earlier. You need to distinguish the difference. There are two. There are two Medicare surtaxes on higher income individuals that we think are going to occur in 2013. Now, if Governor Romney wins the election, then I would imagine he may try to, you know, repeal that. But if he doesn't, and President Obama is still our president, then this is probably going to be here to stay, because the Medicare surtax was implemented as part of supporting the health care plans that were put through. And the Medicare surtax applies to higher income individuals. And it's really important that you understand how they work, because I will tell you, one of the things I'm seeing from, you know, various, I guess, I don't know how you call these people who put out all this information. They try to scare everybody, and it just really bothers me. So I don't want you to be scared. I want you to understand. So sometimes they'll say, oh, the tax rate is going to go from, you know, 35% in 2012 to 39.6 in 2013, and then you're going to have this 3.8% surtax. So your tax is going to go to, what is that, 43.4%. But it doesn't exactly work like that, so you really have to pay attention. If you are a higher income individual, if you're single, the thresholds pretty much across the board for either of these Medicare surtaxes is $200,000 if you're single and $250,000 if you're married filing joint. But it doesn't mean you're paying that tax on that full amount. That is the threshold. So the first Medicare surtax is the one on wages, and that is if your adjusted gross income is over $250,000 and your wages are over $250,000. You're going to pay 0.9% on any amount over $250,000 of wages, 0.9%. If you are making that much money and your employer knows you're going over the threshold, they will automatically withhold. If you only get to that threshold by virtue of you and your spouse both making that and you get over the $250,000, then your employer may not know to withhold, even though you may be subject to it. And your employer can't withhold extra for it. They can withhold extra federal taxes, but they're not going to withhold extra Medicare surtax. So you'd have to fill out a W-4 form and ask your employer to withhold extra federal income tax withholdings. Okay? So you may or may not be subject to that. The Medicare surtax on net investment income, and it's very, very complicated. I already did a show on it, and we'll probably be talking about it more as time goes on. But the Medicare surtax on net investment income, that is your investment income less certain expenses, and investment income is a very broad definition. It's capital gains, interest, dividends, passive income. So there's lots of net investment income. That surtax is 3.8%. on amounts over the $250,000 for married filing joint, $200,000 for single, the amount over that. So if my net investment income is $10,000 and I make $250,000, I am not over $250,000, even though I have $10,000 of net investment income. I'm not going to be subject to the surtax. If my adjusted gross income is $300,000 and my net investment income is only 10, then I'm going to pay the surtax, the 3.8% surtax, on just the 10. Okay? So just be aware of that and the different implications of that. Federal estate and gift taxes, maximum rate in 2012 is 35% on estates above $5.12 million. So we all get an exemption of $5.12 million. If you have gifted over the annual amount of $13,000, if you are someone who has filed gift tax returns for years and years, you've got to be careful because you don't get that plus the $5.2 million. So be aware of how these exemptions work. I can't gift $5.12 million today, keep $5 million in my estate, and then when I die, get another $5.12 million if I'm single. The $5.12 million applies to both gift and estate taxes. So when we die, we have to actually report anything that we gifted during our lifetime where we used the lifetime exemption. So watch out for that. Sounds a little complicated, but I suppose for the people that it applies to, they'll understand when they know how a gift tax return looks, etc. So in 2012, $5.12 million exemption for each of us, and they also allow portability. So if you didn't use it all on one spouse, you can pass it over to the other spouse. So you're protecting a little bit over $10 million, and the estate tax rates are 35% on those amounts over that. President Obama wants to set the maximum rate at 45% with a $3.5 million exemption, and he also wants to allow portability. Even if he wants these things or proposes these things, it doesn't mean they get passed, though. So if they don't get passed, the rules go back to the prior Bush, you know, pre-Bush tax cuts, and the maximum rate will go to 55%, and the exemption amount goes back to $1 million. So when we talk about an exemption amount of $1 million, we're talking about a heck of a lot more people than we had at the $5.12 million exemption. All right, so if you kind of fall into that area, think about it. Add up your retirement accounts, your house, your life insurance, your pension, if it's going to go to someone, you know, and you don't have control over it. There's a lot of value you have in your estate that you have to understand. If you're over the $1 million, you want to make sure you're meeting with your lawyer and talking about whether or not you need to do any estate planning. Governor Romney wants to abolish the federal estate tax. So just awareness, folks, you got to be aware of these things. There were some tax extenders that we had in 2011 that are gone in 2012. And just to remind people, if you had these kinds of deductions on Schedule A, such as sales tax deduction or qualified mortgage insurance premiums, those ended in 2011. They weren't extended yet, at least not now, through 2012. So you need to be aware. If you had a sales tax deduction in the past, that is gone in 2012. And tax-free charitable distributions from IRAs is gone, although they changed that 1 year to December 16th. They made it retroactive, so we don't know what's happening there. Qualified mortgage insurance premiums gone. The teacher's classroom expense deduction for those teachers out there who used to take the $250 on page one of the return, that isn't available as far as we know so far in 2012. So make sure you have prepared a little bit if you're going to have higher income taxes in 2012 for those provisions. Some people forget about them. They just think they're there all the time, but they were extended. Phone number 610-758-8810. So let's quickly talk about doing some tax planning strategies. What kind of strategies do we have? Well, you need to look at whether or not you want to consider selling appreciated assets in 2012. If we know the tax rates are lower in 2012, this is what I alluded to earlier in the show when I said, could people be afraid of a sell-off? Everyone trying to sell to take their gains. Well, if there's a big sell-off, then you might be losing gains. And then that would be something you'd have to sit and weigh, you know, whether it makes sense to sell to avoid higher capital gains in the future, maybe, just to get lower rates today. I think it's important for you to understand what your own personal position is, what your own personal income tax return looks like, and what you think will actually apply to you in 2013 under whatever administration. So That is one of the strategies, though. Some people might want to sell in 2012 because of the lower capital gains tax rates. Some people might want to accelerate income into 2012 to avoid higher income tax rates in 2013. We talked with Keith about that earlier. Keith, I forgot to mention, you know, we didn't talk about ordinary income tax. When you exercise stock options, non-qualified stock options, that appreciation is reported as wages. The Medicare surtax in 2013 is only 0.9% on wages that are exceeding $250,000, but we also might have higher income tax rates in 2013 as well. The trade-off is, do you pay the taxes today and lose the, you know, money you're making on the taxes that you pay? So that's called the time value of money. So some people might be accelerating income into 2012, knowing that the income tax rates are lower in 2012. Some folks might defer their deductions until 2013. Maybe they're saying, why take the deduction now in 2012 when I know the tax rates are lower? And think, gosh, if the tax rates are higher in 2013, maybe I want my deductions then. Well, if that's what you're doing, then you also have to be aware of whether or not you will be subject to limitations on your deductions. So could be a great plan. Maybe I'm going to save my, you know, $10,000 charitable deduction till 2013. I'll pay the church, not this year, but next year, because tax rates might be higher. Well, if you're going to do that, just make sure, are you actually going to get that full deduction? That's why it's good to go through the tax calculations. People can manipulate their wages a bit if they have retirement plans at work, and they can maximize their retirement contributions one year or the other, depending on their cash flow. They might be an executive who might have additional employer contributions that would be available to them, either through like a profit sharing piece, and they're, you know, have special, you know, classifications. So companies may be looking to push more income to those executives or higher earning employees as well, knowing that the income tax rates will be lower in 2012. The Medicare tax, we talked about that with Keith, and then briefly I went over the consequences of the Medicare surtax. Again, probably not affecting a lot of people. So you've got to be careful about worrying about these things if they're not going to apply to you anyway. Just take it out of your worry budget if it's not going to apply to you. Okay. You want to always review your current portfolio and asset allocation. That's always something you should be doing regularly anyway. You also might want to look to see what kinds of income you have in your portfolio. Does it make sense to, you know, look at what is taxable interest, what are dividends, and what might be tax-exempt interest? Because the tax-exempt interest is not subject to the Medicare surtax in 2013, and tax-exempt interest isn't going to be subject to federal income tax rates. So if there's changes in that. Now, President Obama may make some changes to the tax-exempt interest for higher-income individuals. So you got to be careful of that as well. Re-evaluate your participation in a non-qualified plan. Non-qualified plan, that's a little bit more complicated than I want to get into for the end of the show. And let me just mention these other ones. State income tax considerations and relocating. Remember last week I talked about multi-state tax issues, about moving from one state to another. And isn't it funny when we talk about how often that applies to someone or not. We talked to, I believe it was John earlier, when he has put money into his 401k here in Pennsylvania. When he takes that money out, it's not taxable to Pennsylvania if it's, you know, qualified distribution, retirement account. And if his brother has done the same thing in New York, but in New York, he might have gotten it's tax deferred for state wages. When he moves to Pennsylvania and starts taking money out of that 401k, it's also not taxed here. So it can go the other direction. Be aware of your state income tax considerations when you're doing some of your planning as well. One strategy could be shifting assets to lower income family members. Be aware of the gift tax consequences of that, or using your gift exemption if you plan to do that. But it's not as advantageous as it used to be in the old days when people would shift income to their children because their children were low in lower income tax rates. There is something called the kiddie tax now. And if your kids make over a certain amount of investment income, it gets taxed at your rates anyway. So we don't see that shift as much as we used to. You can still use some of those strategies at a lower level and still save income tax. But once you get over a certain amount, again, it's going to be taxed at the parents' rates. And as I had mentioned earlier, with the changes in the federal estate tax, you want to make sure you're reviewing family gifting and your current estate tax plans. So if you are someone who has $1 million estate or more, you certainly want to review your estate plan as to whether or not you will be affected by the sunset rules. Maybe that won't happen. I don't know if I had mentioned that. I think I had, that President Obama was going to propose a $3.5 million exemption and allow portability, meaning if a husband had $3.5 million worth of assets and a wife had $1 million and she died, whatever exemption she didn't use, the husband would be able to take that over. That's called the portability, transferring your exemption between spouses. Okay, folks, it's time's up. Next week, we're just going to talk more about your financial choices. I have a guest that I'm hoping to bring in, and we're not sure what we're going to talk about yet, but we will know, and I'll put it out on the WDIY e-waves. I want to thank Jeff for being here, Andrea, and listeners, and especially the callers. Thank you so much. Stay tuned for In the Tradition Folk Music with Tom Druckenmiller. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.